As we find ourselves at the beginning of this strange and unprecedented time in our lives, at least in mine, we still find ourselves wondering how it is that we're going to get through this in the best way possible. Obviously, this is notwithstanding and not trying to be insensitive to anyone who's actually ill or even worse or actually really sick in the hospital and has, you know, we're talking about, Sefer Achaim and the Sefer Amaves are Psuchim Lefneim. Those people should be Zoche to Refuah Shleima, and obviously whatever we are going through is nothing and Ka'ayim Ve'efes compared to what they're going through, and we wish them Refuah and Yeshua as soon as possible. But nevertheless, every person feels a tremendous sense of inconvenience, a sense of really just of not knowing what the future will bring in terms of the next, short term of our lives, and in terms of how we're going to be able to do the things that we love to do and the things that we want to do and accomplish as much as we possibly can, as we normally would have during this, you know, really what is normally a wonderful time of year. The Mishnah we know that's in Tainus that talks about that the actual thing is Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, right? That we lessen the amount of Simcha that we have during the month of Av, but then we elaborate and we say Kishem Shemin Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. As just as when we lessen the amount of Simcha when we have in the month of Av, we increase the amount of Simcha that we have in the month of Adar, and in fact, The Rashi over there comments, why is it that we're increasing the Simcha during the month of Adar? Because it's coming up on the great Yomim Tovim of Purim. Obviously, that's what one we always associate it with. But also the Yontif of Pesach, Rashi says. So really, the time of Adar from Rosh Chodesh Adar through the end of the month of Nisan is the time of great Simcha for Klal Yisrael, and here we are during this great Zman of Simcha, and we're not feeling a great deal of Simcha. We're feeling, you know, a sense of tightness, uneasiness, and really just a sense of foreboding, not really just understanding what the future is going to bring. So I thought maybe to give a little bit of perspective, we can go back to a story that we all know and we heard already when we were little kids, but maybe we'll read it inside the Gemara. And I don't really have anything to add to the story, but I think it's just good to remind ourselves of this is something that happened. Now, the reason this comes up, it's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, and the reason why it's easy to remember where it is, because it's Lag Baomer reminds us of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so therefore it's easy to remember that this is associated with the famous story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Gemara brought this up because there was a question of Rabbi Huda ben Eloi was the Rosh HaMedabrim. He was called the Rosh HaMedabrim, and the Gemara then it came up in a question of why certain illnesses come to the world, which is also nogea to us. Which is, I think, fascinating, actually, because the Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph and Lamed Gimel Amid Beis was discussing why is it that different bad things come to the world, and they were going through which averis cause which bad things, and right after that they discuss Askara, which, if you remember from the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara says that that's actually the worst type of Misa. Askara is the worst way to die. But as opposed to Misas Nashika, which is the best way to die. But nevertheless, they asked, why does Askara come to the world? And there was a whole big machlokes amongst the Tanoim. What's the reason of Askara? So the Gemara goes through, the Gemara saying, because it starts in the innards, it starts in the Bnei Me'ai, excuse me, and it goes all the way out through the mouth. So as they were going back and forth, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wanted to suggest that was because of Bittul Torah. However, other Tanoim disagreed with him, and Rabbi Yossi was reading the wrong part, but Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Huda, they all had a machlokes, and Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Loi, and it says there, he was the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. So he suggested that... one reason, and then Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, he suggested that it was a different reason, and Rabbi Shimon said Bittul Torah, and then they go back and forth, and they tried to disprove that it wasn't Dafka Bittul Torah, but either way, You know, it was a question of Lashon Hara. It was a question of eating machalos asuros. Not really for us to discuss right this minute, but right after discussing why certain plagues come to the world. So then the Gemara asked the question, V'amai karule Rosh HaMedabrim? Why do we call Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi the Rosh HaMedabrim b'chol makom? What is the significance of that, and how did he become the Rosh HaMedabrim? Was he the Gadol Ador? Was he did he get this official position in the Sanhedrin? So the Gemara tells the following story. The Yasvei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. So these three great Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, they were all sitting together. V'yasev Yehuda ben Gerim gabayu, and there was a fellow named Yehuda ben Gerim who was very much not a great man, as we'll see, and he was sitting with them as well. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda va'amar, and Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, he said, "Kama noy masayim shel umazu." How great are the actions of this particular nation? Meaning, referring to the Romans, this is a time when Eretz Yisrael was obviously occupied and being run by the Romans. So why are they so great? Because look at all the capital improvements they made to Eretz Yisrael. Tiknu Shvakim, Tiknu Gisharim, Tiknu Merchatzos, right? They made all of these great capital improvements to society, and they made these marketplaces and bridges and bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi Shasak, Rabbi Yossi heard what he said. He didn't want to get involved in a machlokas about this particular thing, and therefore he stayed out of it. Nana Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'Omar, Kol ma shetiknu, lo tiknu el letzorech atzman. He says, no. Whatever they did for their own sake. Tiknu shvakim lehoshev b'hem zonos, and they established marketplaces so they could increase the amount of pritzos, they could have znus over there, merchatzos, le'idun b'hem atzman, and they just built these bathhouses for their own pleasure, gesharim lito mehen meches, and they just wanted to be, that tax collectors would be able to travel better, so they made these bridges. It's all for their own sake, nothing to do with helping us. Halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, the Sipur Devrayim, Vinishmul Amalchus. So this fellow Yehuda ben Gerim decided to go around talking Lashon Hara, and he eventually made its way to the Roman government. Amru. So what did the Roman government say? Yehuda she'ila yisala. Yehuda, who raised us up, he should be raised up. Meaning he should become the Rosh HaMedabrim b'chol makom. So he was officially a government appointee that Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi became the Rosh HaMedabrim. Yossi she'shasak yigla litzipori. So Rabbi Yossi, who was silent, he should have to go, that we're going to force him into Gaulis, he's going to go to Tzipori, and he's not going to be able to learn in his regular spot. Shimon Shegina and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who disgraced us, he spoke badly about us, Yehoreg, he should be killed. Azahu Brei, Toshu Be Midrasha. So Rabbi Shimon and his son Rabbi Elazar, so they ran to the Beis Medrash. Kol Yomai Hava Maisi Luhu Debisu Rifta Ukuza Demaya. So every single day his wife would bring them bread and water to drink. Ukrache, right, and they would eat kitakif ksirasa, but then the gzeira got even worse, meaning they really were on the lookout for Rabbi Shimon. Originally, it was like they knocked on his door, he wasn't there, so they let it go. As long as he was hiding out in the Beis Medrash, it was okay. But eventually, they started looking for him. So Amale Lebre, so Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Lazar, Nashim daitem kalas aleyen, Dilma mitzarila umegal yolan. Maybe they're going to torture your mother, meaning she's going to break easily, and she's going to tell them where we are. So Azlu Tashu b'marasa. So then they went and they hid in a cave, and even his own wife didn't know where he was. This Rachish Nisan, a nace happened. V'ibrilahu charuva ve'ina demaya, and a buxer tree and a spring came up right outside the cave. So they basically had what to eat and drink. I would say the greatest nace of all is that the great Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and the great Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon were able to sustain themselves or even to consume buxer even once. That's really a tremendous nace. But other than that, I don't know if somebody in the world likes buxer, but this is what they ate for their entire duration in the cave. Continuing on, they took off their clothing because their clothing obviously wouldn't last very long. And they buried themselves up. They sat in there up to their necks in sand, meaning so their bodies were covered. So they were able to, as we'll see in a second, they were able to learn Torah. But on the other hand, they didn't want to wear out their clothing. So kula yom agarsi, they learned all day. Be'idin slusa, then when it's time to daven, lovshu mikasu umatzlu, they would put on their clothing and they would daven in their clothing. For those who are It's actually in today's daf that Hikon Likras Elokecha Yisrael, that there's a special Indian to dress nicer for davening than for anything else. For those who remember the third parak of Maseches Brachos, they discussed that a person is allowed to say Kriya Shema without a shirt on, but he's not allowed to daven without a shirt on because of this idea of Hikon, that you're supposed to dress Keomid B'fnei HaMelech. There's a difference between Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim versus Amida L'fnei HaMelech. So, okay. So, and why'd they do this? Then they took off their clothes. So the clothing wouldn't wear out. They sat for 12 years in the cave. So Eliyahu Hanavi finally came and sat at the opening to the cave. Who's going to tell Bar Yochai? Who's going to tell Rabbi Shimon that the government leader has died? And the Kesar in the Gemara doesn't mean the actual Caesar. It means the procurator or whoever the local governor was who was in charge of the Jews. This guy's dead, and then the new guy doesn't care about his Xeras. So it's Batal. So Nafku, they went on Chazu Nishtaka, Karve Vizari. So they saw a lot of people who were working the fields. So Amar, Manichin Chaye Olam, Oskim Chaye Shah. They're leaving aside Chaye Olam, which is Torah. And they're just dealing with their personal needs of chayisha, of temporary life. So they were very upset because they had just been learning Torah 12 years straight and hadn't seen any people. The ultimate example of social isolation. And finally, they see and they also experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he can sustain your guf, meaning their bodies were sustained, they were physically healthy, and they were able to live through everything. And yet, here are these people who think that in order to sustain yourselves physically, you need to work the fields. So this is reminiscent of the Gemara also in Maseches Brachos on Daf Lamed Ayin and Beis, where you have the big machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon is Lashitaso over here, that he says that the pasuk of Yasafta deganecha, that says you're supposed to work the field, that is b'diyevet, that it's only bizman she'eino osin ritzono shel makom, that if we're not following the will of the Ribbono shel Olam, so then we're going to have to work for ourselves. And he said further, not only are we going to have to work for ourselves, we're going to have to work for other people as well. We're not even going to just going to be able to do our own work. So Reb Shimon Lashitaso says, if you serve the Ribbono Shel Olam the right way, so then other people will take care of your physical needs. But if you are not serving the Ribbono Shel Olam the right way, then not only are you going to need to take care of your own physical needs, but you're going to need to work for somebody else. And that's even a bigger bizayin. So Reb Shimon was very upset that all these people didn't understand his secret that you could be osek only in Torah, and you could take care of only your physical, your spiritual needs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take care of your physical needs, as he just experienced himself with his son. So they were very upset about that. So kol makom shenos neneya miyad nisraf, every place where they would place their eyes, it would be burned up. Yatz the baskol va'amr lahem lahachariv olami yatzas. Right, so he says. So baskol came out and says, "What's wrong with you? Did you come out of the cave to destroy my world? Like, are you doing this horrible thing that Hashem says I didn't bring you out of the cave so you could destroy my world and do all these terrible things and burn up people's fields? So Chizru l'maraskim, go back to your cave. Hadur azul asiva tracer yarchishata. So they went back for another 12 months. Amri and they said, Hare mishba. No, sorry, I added the word Hare mishba rishon begehenim shnei masar chodesh. Right, so rishon go to Gehenna for 12 months. So we're also in Gehenna for 12 months. We shouldn't have to be here any more than is necessary. Yatz the baskol v'amra tsu mimaraschem. So then finally a second baskol came out and said, "Come out of your cave." Nafku, they went out, and now an interesting development. Kol heicha dehava machi Reb Lazar, have a masi Rabbi Shimon. Everywhere where Rabbi Elazar would look, meaning the sun was still burning things with his eyes. But what happened? Rabbi Shimon was able to fix it. So everything that Rabbi Elazar would look at, Rabbi Shimon would fix. Amrulo, they said to him, Bini. So finally, Rabbi Shimon tried to appease Rabbi Elazar, and he said, "My son, dai la'olam anivata." He says, "It's enough that the world has me and you." Meaning, if we're going to be the only two people in the whole world learning Torah, that's enough. We don't have to worry about what every single other person is doing and feel bad about them going to work. Let them do their thing, and we'll do our thing. And so still not the healthiest of attitudes. Bahadi panya demali shabata. That Erev Shabbos, Chazu Hahusav, they saw an old man to have a nukit tre madani asa. He was carrying two bundles of hadasim. Right, bein hashmashas, and he was running home. You know, like nothing has changed since the times of the Tanoim, right? And even if you look in the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu did 10 things erev Shabbos bein hashmashas, right? So I always wondered, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do a 10? This is not the real pshat, just for the record. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do 10 things erev Shabbos bein hashmashas? Because he wanted to show us that we, when we're rushing bein hashmashas erev Shabbos, we shouldn't feel so bad. Even the Rabbeinu Shalom was rushing to get things done right before Shabbos. Now, that is not to be taken seriously, but it's to be understood in the proper context. But nevertheless, this old man was running home erev Shabbos bein hashmashas to get home right before Shabbos, and he was carrying these two bundles of hadassim. So Amr Leh, they said to him, Hani Lamalach, why do you have these two bundles of hadassim? Amr Leh, Lechavit Shabbos. What do you mean? I have flowers. Bring home flowers for Shabbos. And bring home, really, they used to use hadassim both for adornment, but mostly even for smell. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that you're not allowed to smell the hadassim on Sukkot because that's their ikker tafkid, right? Even the esrog, which has a, you know, Lanias Daiti has a better smell than hadassim, but you're allowed to smell the esrog because its ikker tafkid is for eating. But you're not allowed to smell the hadassim because that's a rikatav. So he wanted to have his house smell nice. He wanted to have these beautiful hadassim. So then they asked him, okay, so v'tiski lach b'chad, why not just have one hadas? Or one bundle? Why do you have to have two bundles of hadassim? So no, he answered, chad keneged zachar v'chad keneged shamor. No, it says zachar and shamor in the Torah, and therefore I want to have one for each. Right. Also the source that many point to when it comes to lighting two Shabbos candles. Amar Leis, the Brei, Rav Shimon said to Rabbi Lazar, Chazi kama chavivin mitzvos al Yisrael. See how beloved mitzvos are to the Jewish people. Meaning, they felt a lot better about the whole situation. They said, oh, you see all these people working the field, living in the world of Gashmius, and here's a guy who, you know, Rav Shimon and his son, what do they need from Hadassim? What do they need from making the house look nice? They're totally spiritual. They have no shaykhus to any of this. But they said, oh, you see that a lot of this Gashmius is being used to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam and to show a love of mitzvos. Not only do they want to decorate the house for Shabbos, but they do it with a chachma that comes from Zachar V'Shamar, meaning they link it back to the psukim in such a way so that they could do the mitzvah as best as humanly possible. Yosef Dataya, they felt better? Okay. Now, I just want to close with the end of the story and just one ha'ara, a couple of ha'aras. So Shama, Rabbi Pin, you know what, let me say the ha'ara first. It's interesting that after 12 years in the cave, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar were burning things with their eyes. And after another 12 months, all of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon was not burning. He was fixing things, and Rabbi Elazar was burning things. So there's a lot of different interpretations to explain this, but I just wanted to say one explanation based on a different Gemara in Maseches Sukkah concerning the great Yonasan ben Uzziel, as well as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, at the very end of the second parak, it discusses the great Talmidim of Hillel. Hillel had many Talmidim, and they say that among his great Talmidim, of this upper echelon of Talmidim, the highest one was Yonasan ben Uzziel, and the lowest one was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now we know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was not the lowest anything. He started off as the lowest. There's other Gemaras that indicate he started off as the lowest. It slips my mind where I saw the Gemara, but it says that one day they were starting shir and they said, so they asked, the Hillel asked, is everybody here today? And they said, yeah, everyone's here except the cotton. Everyone's here except the little one. And I was referring to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Hillel said, you better watch out, that one day that cotton is going to eclipse everybody. Meaning, so he started as the cotton. He didn't end up, he obviously ended up as the leader of Klal Yisrael, who saved us through the Churban Bayis Sheni. But nevertheless, at the time, he was the smallest. And then the Gemara goes on and says, well, what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai know? And they list off everything, every Kolatar Kula, forget about it. Of course, he knew that. And then he knew the weird things we don't even know. Some of the things they list on over there is that Rashi says, I don't even know what this is. So he was a bucky in everything, Sheba everything. So then the Gemara asks, okay, so after it's Shaykh that the smallest one knew everything, who was the, how was Yonasan ben Uzziel? What did he know? So the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yonasan ben Zio would be a Yoshev Darish, kol of haporeach alav miyad nisraf. If there was a bird flying over his head, it would immediately burn up. Okay, so that's a good question. What's so great about that? Meaning, I don't know, somebody says you can learn Kol Torah Kulo, or you can perform some insanely cool trick of like learning Torah and burning birds. So that's a question. And even Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi says that, I think it was the Malachi Asharis, Rashi says the fires were Smechem and Sinasa Sinai over there, and therefore the fires of Sinai came down and they burned. Tosfos points out from the Gemara by Yonasan ben, about Elisha ben Avuya, that it's not Shaykh because that fire doesn't burn. So he says maybe it's because the Malachi Asharis were coming to hear his Divrei Torah, so they would burn up any birds. And there's other cute pshatim on that as well. I'm sure many explanations have been given. But one interesting thing, they say that they asked the Kutzker Rebbe what was by, meaning if this was by the Talmidim, that the Talmud, Yonasan ben Uzziel, that Kol Ofa Poreach Alav Miyad Nisraf, so what was by the Rebbe? What was by Hillel? So they say the Kutzker, in his amazing concise fashion, said supposedly this is, I heard this from the Bezal Lushin for Amir Torsky. He says by the Rebbe der oif fabrent nisht, that when it came to Hillel by the Rebbe, Hillel the bird, he was so great that the bird didn't burn up, meaning that the greatness of Hillel wasn't just that he had all of this in him, he had the fire. The greatness of Hillel is that he was the master over it. Yonasan ben Uzziel was so great that he actually could tap into this heavenly fire, whatever that means, and he could, you know, when he would learn Torah, that fire would come out. The godless of Hillel was that he had the fire, but he could actually control it. It was his to, you know, quote-unquote, his to command. He was the balabais over it, and it wasn't just something that like would burst out of him. And that's something to keep in mind if you want to understand the character of Hillel. Also, other Gemaras in Shabbos earlier in Masechta, where they talk about the trying to get Hillel angry. So it's easy to understand if you just think of Hillel as just a sweet, nice man, which he was. But you think of him as a nice, sweet man that he was able to avoid getting angry. But it wasn't just that he was a nice, sweet man. He had this fire inside of him that could have burned up everything in his path, like Yonasan ben Uzziel, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar. He had that fire, and yet he was able to control it to the extent that all you saw was this goodness and sweetness on the exterior. That was Hillel, the person who never got angry, the person who was makariv everybody, the person who was able to convince people to be magayer just by the Kiddush Hashem that he made. And that was the greatness of the Rebbe. And I think if you apply that to this Gemara over here, then that makes a lot of sense within Rabbi Shimon as well. Meaning, after 12 years, they had reached such heights that they were actually, they had that fire and they were burning up everything because they couldn't possibly understand how people wouldn't follow their derech in life, and therefore they were able to burn everything. But then after an additional 12 months where they reached an even higher level, meaning now they're already holding by 13 years learning, so they reached an even higher level. So Rabbi Elazar, for all of his greatness, and it was, Gemara's talk about that, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was even greater than Rebbe. But even so, for all of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's greatness, he was still burning things up, but Rabbi Shimon, the father, the Rebbe, he was able to hold it in. By the Rebbe, Fabret Nisht, the Rebbe was so great that he wouldn't even burn things. He could control it. And that was the level that he reached after the additional 12 months of Aliyah in Torah. All right, let's continue with the end of the story. Shama Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Chasnei, meaning, so his son-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, his famous, you know, I think the most famous thing about him is that his donkey. But either way, he was the son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon, and he came out to greet him. He heard he was in town. Right, so he brought him in to the Beis HaMerchatz, and Havaka Arich Le Levisre. So he was trying to fix up his skin, meaning he was trying to get all the sand and all this stuff that had been harming him for all these years. Chazi da'ave be'pile be'gufe. He saw that his skin was cracked. His body was all full of these cracks because he had He had been in the sand for so long. Havikabachi, so to see his great Rebbe, his great father-in-law in pain, so he started, Reb Pinchas Ben Yara started crying. But the tears touched the skin of Rabbi Shimon, and it made it even worse because it caused pain in his cracks. But this is the punchline I wanted to get to, and the reason I brought this whole thing in. So Pinchas Ben Yara says to Reb Shimon, "Woe is to me that I see you like this." Right? So he says, "No, Reb Shimon, Amalei." He says back to him, "Ashrecha sherisani mekach. Fortunate are you that you saw me like this. She'ilmali lo risani mekach lo matzasa bikach. Had you not seen me in such a way, you would not have found me like this." Meaning, what he's saying is that had this not happened to me, I would have never achieved that which I have currently achieved. Deme ikara, because originally the Gemara explains ki ava makshir Reb Shimon ben Yochai kushya hav mafarik Reb Pinchas ben Yar treisar peruke. Reb Shimon ben Yochai would have a kasha, and Reb Pinchas ben Yar would have 12 terutzim to the kasha. Lesof, in the end, after he came out of the cave, ki have a makshi Reb Pinchas ben Yar kushya have a mafarik le Reb Shimon ben Yochai esrim va'arba piruke. So he says that after he came out, Reb Pinchas ben Yar would ask a kasha and Rabbi Shimon would give 24 terutzim. Well, the pashup shot here seems that Reb Pinchas ben Yar was actually greater in learning than Reb Shimon before Reb Shimon went in, but after he came out, Reb Shimon was greater, even way greater than Reb Pinchas ben Yar had been before Reb Shimon went into the cave. And so what he's telling him is, Reb Pinchas ben Yair is saying, "Oh, I can't believe this happened to you. I can't believe you had to be isolated in such a way, and it hurt you, and it was probably so lonely, and it was so hard, and look what it did to your body." And Reb Shimon says, "No, Ashrecha that this happened. Fortunate are you for seeing me in such a way, because look what I became. Look what I was able to accomplish because Dafka, I went through this difficult time and I was in this difficult circumstance." So I just wanted to close by explaining that when I thought of this Gemara, when I thought of our current circumstance, I thought of this Gemara and I said, this was the, to my knowledge, the original case of social isolation and social distancing and quarantining, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is, this was the case where we have a prototype from Chazal about how to be quarantined. And Reb Shimon said, "Look, I can't do all the things that I normally do. I'm going to somehow delve into the depths of Torah with my son," right? Many on the Kabbalistic side of things, the things that he achieved in the cave and eventually became the Zohar HaKadosh and other things such as that, where he revealed the deepest teachings of Torah and he achieved heights in learning that he simply never would have come to if he had been in normal circumstances in the Beis Medrash. Now, don't get me wrong, he was already a Tana. He was already Rabbi Shimon the Tana, and for all of his greatness, we couldn't even imagine what Rabbi Shimon the Tana was, what he was and what he was capable of. But he became the world all-time, you know, great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in that cave. In the case of social isolation, in the case of quarantining, he became he made it to that next level because of the difficulty of his circumstances. And I don't know, again, I want to be clear, I don't know each person what each one of us can achieve given the circumstances that we're in, but we have to realize that if we're here, we're here for a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us in this situation, and there is what to accomplish in every given situation. We have to focus on certain goals that we want to accomplish during this time, and whether you're going to work, whether you're not going to work, whether you're able to go to yeshiva, we have to focus on the changes that we're having to deal with and what we can accomplish during the time that these changes are implemented, and we should come out the other side somehow, some way, we won't just say that we made it and we survived, but that ashrenu that this happened to us, because we were able to come out the other side so much greater than we went in, because we took advantage of the opportunity to set goals for ourselves, to pick a project or two that we're going to work on during this time and accomplish it, and set a schedule for ourselves that we're going to stick to as best as we humanly can, you know, given all the distractions and all the details that are not under our control. And should be the Ratzon Hashem that we're able to come out of this greater than we went into it and having accomplished amazing things.